The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right, well, with further ado, if you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians, and if you would flip there with me, I'm going to pray for us again. Dear Lord, I pray as we open up this book that you would speak to our hearts. Father, that it would be your word that we hear, and that we would be coming away from this place changed to be more like you. So, Father, as we look at these words from him, that you would penetrate our hearts. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 12. But before I start that, I want to tell a quick story. I've been a part of a lot of weddings. I've got to do some weddings. I've got to see a lot of weddings. But this wedding that I just went to, I didn't do a thing. I just got to sit there and be in awe of it. And the most amazing thing that I saw at this wedding was a father's love to his daughter. And I saw the father, and this father is my brother. And I saw this father, as I was holding the curtain as he walked down the aisle, look at his daughter with such love and compassion. And I saw Christ. Not saying John is Jesus, even though his initials are JC, but I saw Christ in my brother. I saw my dad in my brother. I saw a father that loved his daughter and would do whatever it took to give her away. As he walked her down the aisle, the sweetest thing that I saw as he got to the end, he said, "No, you can't have her, Zach." No, he didn't say that. He got to the end, and he picked up the veil that was over her face. I've never seen this before. He picked up this veil. And then lovingly, so compassionately, he reached in for his last kiss to his baby girl. And he kissed her so gently. And then Rob says, "Who gives her hand in marriage?" And he says, "His mother and I." And puts the veil back down. And I was like, "Wow, that is Christ! Man, that was Christ, man, because he loved us so much, and he longs to be with us. He wants to be with us, and he looks like the bride, and he comes to the bride with such great zeal that he wants to be there." Zach was not waiting there thinking, "Oh, man, are they done yet? I got somewhere to go." No, he was like, "Get off the way, John. I mean, I love you, but let's go on. I got things to do today," right? He was excited. So in that light, I want you guys to hear this as we read the scripture. I believe God's word is the most important thing. Not what I have to say, not what Pastor John, this right here is what has power in life to death. This can change your life. So this book right here, as we read this, and I believe when you spend time in this book, God will do things in your life. And it just so happens that I'm right now reading through Corinthians, and I had a different lesson kind of planned until the wedding. And until this week, as I came across this passage, I'm like, "Oh, this is it. This is what God wants me to teach." So open up your Bibles to chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. It says, "Therefore, since we have such a great, hope that we are bold, we are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at the," the light is messing up. "The veil over his face to keep his Israelites from gazing at while the radiance was fading away." To get the understanding of what he's talking about there, let's go back to the Old Testament. So if you can look at the screen or turn your Bibles there, we're going to go to Exodus 34 here and get the story of this. This is the second time. The second time Moses had the Ten Commandments. The first time, if you remember, he came down angry because the music he heard, that he had the Ten Commandments and saw they were worshiping this golden idol. So he threw the commandments down, and eventually he ground up the ashes and made them drink it because they were worshiping an idol when they should have been worshiping God. So Moses comes down the second time from Mount Sinai. And as he comes down, this time is something different. Something amazing happened. His face was, let's look at it. His face was radiant, and he didn't even know it. He didn't even know it, that his face was different. And it wasn't different because he was angry at them. He was different because what? What does it say? Because he spoke with the Lord. That means he was in the presence of God Almighty. And there was something that changed. There was a collision that happened. And all of a sudden, things were different. Now his face and the glory of the Lord was shining upon him. So now he goes in. And what do they start doing? Oh, they're like afraid. Why are they afraid? Are they afraid because of their sin? Maybe because they're seeing this holy, righteous God through Moses? Are they afraid because maybe they're in sin? Maybe there's something going on? Or are they just in awe because they know who they are? That they're nothing without him. And so it goes on to say right here. It says in verse 30, when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid and came near to him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came to him and gave them all the commands the Lord had given them on Mount Sinai. Then Moses, when Moses finished speaking to them, he put the veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with the Lord, he removed it, the veil, until he came out. And when he came out, he told the Israelites what he had been commanded, and they saw that his face was radiant, and the face of Moses is shining bright. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went to speak with the Lord. Flip back over to 2 Corinthians. So as we're there, now we kind of understand the story, but why was his face covered? Why was his face? Well, his face was covered, number one, because Moses wasn't enough. Moses wasn't the guy. He was like, if you will, like Jesus' cousin. He was the one that was just bringing the way and making the way until the real one came, the true Messiah. Check this out. I want you to hear these words. This is in Hebrews. I don't have this one up there, but I want you to hear this. This is chapter 3 of Hebrews. It says, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Moses was not the guy. He was not the one to look to. He was not the one that could redeem the lost. He was not the one that was a spotless lamb. Let's read. We're going to see who the one was that was. You ready? Right here it says, but their minds were made dull. For the day the same veil remains, the old covenant is read, and it has not been recovered, because only in Christ, who? Only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. If the veil is there to block, why is it blocking? Scripture says their hearts were dull. Their minds were not on the Lord. The Israelites were trying to win their status with the Lord, to be right with him, doing all these criteria of lists. Back then there were 600 plus laws they had to keep, and they could not keep them all. They were trying to do whatever it could. I gotta read my Bible every day. I gotta go to church. Oh, we have free seal. I gotta do free seal and clean up. I gotta do all these things so I can be right in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Right? That's not what he's saying. That's not it. And we're trying to fill this thing. At the wedding, did Zach over here, as he's standing here, I can just picture, he's like, oh man, she is beautiful. And I go, oh man, this is amazing. I love to see that when the groom is watching the door open and the bride comes, he's like, woo! Right? And he's like that. And then when she gets up there and he gives him, he didn't go, okay, thanks, John, I'm done. No, he's like, take that veil off. I want to see that. I want to see the whole thing. Man, this is amazing. I want it. He was ready to be with the bride. He was ready to just have all of everything he could ever have. That's what God wants with us. He wants us to want all of God, not just, oh, because I'm driving to work and I have 5 minutes, I can pray now. Oh, I'm too tired, but I guess I don't have to watch this show. I could slip a few minutes of prayer in right now. No, it's not what he's saying. He's saying, Do you want to be with me? Do you want to see what I have? And you have to do that. He says, taste and see my goodness, because it's good. If we don't take time to taste the goodness, we're not going to see it. Just like if Zach didn't want to invest into Jordan, he's not going to reap the benefits of that. And he didn't say to John, oh, no, I'm done. He said, no, for the rest of my life, John, I promise you, I will take care of her to the death. And even after that, I am here and I'm ready to be with her. Do we have that kind of love for the Father? Do we have that kind of love to want to be in the presence of him? Then it goes on to say right here, it says this, and even to this day, Moses read the veil, and it covers their hearts, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It is, again, only him that can remove that veil. Many of us still got this covering over us, and we try to approach the throne, but we got all this baggage. When Christ died, the veil was torn from the top to bottom. That now we, who we are in Christ, is this. Listen to this. In 1 Peter 2:9, he has this one. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We are like, you guys out here are like little priests. You don't have to wait for John to come up here and give you some elaborate message from the Lord. John can sit home. Because this book right here oversees what anything I have to say or anybody else. Because this is the word of God. And everything that we have should come from this book. And what John says, we should say, you know what? Let me test the scripture and see what he says is so. That's what the Bereans did. They opened up the word and they studied the scripture daily to see if the word of God was true. And if we love God, and my challenge to our students is I didn't give them a pack of candy. I gave them the greatest book at all. This is it right here. And if you're not in this book, you're going to be weighed, swayed in this way and that way. And you're going to falter when you go to school and that situation comes. You're going to fall right into it if you are not standing on the firm foundation of Christ. And if you are standing on that, I promise you, the scripture says you will be blessed and you will be prosperous and successful in all your ways. That's what it says. I want you to hear this word right here. This is what it says. And those who look to him are radiant. What does that mean? It means bright, brilliant, illuminating. Our faces are in fire because God is on us and in us. And their faces are never covered with shame. If we are in the presence of the Father, we are going to come away and be different. The problem is, don't go there to be different. My challenge to you as students, my challenge to our parents, can the students stand right here and say, you know what? My parents have done the very best. They've opened up that book and they taught me as a little child when we sat and played. And when I punched my sister, my mom got down and said, you need to love one another. No, hit her again. You know, was that there? Oh, man, when I looked at my mom and dad, I saw my dad yell at my mom and probably hit her. Or did I see my father say, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Were we an example like we should be? Was the radiance of the Father and the glory on us? And that our children can say, wow, I should imitate my parents because they were imitating Christ. It's not too late. Students, as you go to school, the challenge is yours. And all of, I believe, our students up here have professed, I am a follower of Christ. Are you radiant? Are you radiant? Are you radiant that people can see the glory of God on you? I was in the hospital. I almost died. I guess I can say that. I was pretty sick, and I didn't know I was that sick until I looked over. My wife was crying. She doesn't cry. She gets angry. She throws alarm clocks. She does not cry. She is not a girl that, oh, I got to worry about. If she's crying, something is not right. And I said, why are you crying? And she goes, you're really sick. I said, wow. I'm going to die? This ain't good. Meanwhile, my phone is getting blown up crazy. I got 20,000 emails, not really, maybe. I think it was like 700. I had 200 text messages. I had a whole bunch of answer machines to go back and listen to. But I got home, and I'm looking through all these, like, wow, there's a lot of people. Maybe they care about me. I guess this is kind of cool, you know. And I see one guy that I've been praying for 6 years. 6 years. He's on my hit list of people that I know if I wrestle and I'm on my knees praying about, God is going to save them. He is going to, because I'm fighting on my knees for their salvation, and God will do it. As I'm thinking about calling him back, the phone rings and it's him. He's like, man, Gary, what's been going on with you, man? He's a Harley Davidson dude, ball-headed, pretty big. He's like 6'3". He's all tattooed up, and he's a pretty tough dude. Before I came here, I was a construction worker, part-time youth pastor, children's pastor, but I was in the field every day. And if I wasn't in this book, if the radiance was not upon me, I'm missing it. I understand where you're at. Oh, Gary, you don't understand. I work. I drive in traffic. That's a bunch of baloney. I think as a pastor, it's harder for me to get into this book because I'm not having the time like I thought I would. If you're not formed in your faith and know where you stand, it's not going to get any easier. It's not. But as I'm talking to this guy, Mike, he's like, Gary, I had a heart attack. And I knew that you were the guy that had answers. And I don't know what's going to happen with me. I'm nervous. And I said, you know what? There is not a chance. This didn't just happen by chance. This was God ordained for you to call me. And right now, you need Christ. Mike, you are the guy that was trying to do what the Scripture said. The Scripture says, we like with minds that are made dull, like the ones that are still covered with the veil, our hearts are hard. That was Mike. He was like, Gary, you know, I give my money away to the church. I give more than 15%, man. I've been to the restaurant with this dude, and he leaves a $100 bill on the table for the waitress. That's, this dude's, man, he gives like 100 times over. I've never seen someone so generous. I said, you know what, that's crap. I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry. I said, he doesn't need your money, Mike. You can't earn your way to salvation. You're just like these people. God doesn't want that. He wants your heart. He's broken. His blood has been shed for you and for me that we cannot attain it. I said, Mike, don't try to earn your way to heaven. You're not going to make it. You're not. There is nothing good in us. But check this out. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we could be the righteousness of God. He came in and rescued us, took us from that ugly place, and that veil was removed. I told you Moses wasn't it. He said, look to the one who was, and that's Christ himself. He came, and the veil is gone, and now we can boldly come to the throne. Listen to this verse. If this would be our heart, I think our children would see it. I think the mics in the world would see it. One thing I ask from the Lord is this, that I seek. This is Psalms 27:4. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. I can just seek him when I'm driving to work. I drive an hour. I can have a little praise and worship in my car. No. Do you want to be with them? I guarantee Zach didn't want to go hang out with his buddies. He wanted to go be with the bride. Do we want to be with the Lord like that? Do we want to long be with the Father? Because the Father is amazing and we don't look at him like that. We just think he's some God that we can, oh man, I'm not doing right now. I'm dying. I better pray to God. God help me. Oh, I just lost a baby. Oh, my dog got ran over. It's only we cry out to God in the bad junk. The good and the bad. We need to serve him all of our days. Listen to this verse. Psalms 26:8. I love the Lord. It's, I love the house where you live, Lord. The place where your glory dwells. Do we long to be in his presence? This is the last verse I'm going to share with you. Psalms 84:10. Better. Better. Is one day. Not in the presence of Jesus. over here with Jesus. This is better than anywhere else, 1,000 days elsewhere. And then he goes on to say, I would rather be the door guy holding the stinking door of the temple than being right there in the presence of Jesus, than in the temple or the tents with the wicked. We don't long to be with him. I have to get myself out of bed because I like to sleep. I have 4 crazy children. Man, they are crazy. By the grace of God, they've not dead. But let me tell you this. I know I am just like them. Disgusting, messed up, goofball mess. But God lovingly grabbed me and saved me. And his radiance illuminates all over me. That my children see it. Last night, Rebecca says, Dad, what are you doing? It's 1 o'clock at night. Stop yelling. I was talking to the Lord because I need to find my time where I can be with my Lord. And if I got to go to the ends of the earth to find it, better is one day there. One day there than 1,000 elsewhere. Do we love the Lord like that? Are you radiant? Students, are you radiant? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter that you get a diploma. There is a lady in our presence that is stinking smart. I mean, she is so smart, she could be the president right now. Katie Carney, I heard all these accolades she is, and I'm in awe. But at the end of the day, Solomon, the wisest king ever, missed it. He didn't hear what his father said, but his father said, better is one day in your presence than 1,000 elsewhere. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, you are amazing, God. You are the one that wants to radically change our lives. You want to tear down those walls. Now, you said there is liberty in Christ. There is freedom. And I skipped over that verse because I was running out of time. But Father, there's freedom in you. You've come to let the captives free. You've come to tear down those walls of fear that is against us and the things that we're afraid to hide from you. Oh, but you don't understand, God. I really struggle with pornography. Oh, Lord, you don't understand. I'm not being faithful to my wife. Oh, Lord, you don't understand. I struggle with drugs. Oh, man, I'm cheating all my way through school. And now the rubber hits the road. You don't understand. I got all this baggage. Yes, he does. He says he ripped the veil from the top to the bottom where only God himself could do it. And he says, you are a royal priesthood that I've set out, that I love, and I call you my child. Run to the Father because he's running to you. He says, lay your burdens down. If you have things in your life that are wrestling and weighing you down, students, if you have things you're concerned about the next step, or maybe you're just excited because you think you can party and live it up, I pray that you would be in awe of God. Because if you made that promise and commitment to follow him, it's going to be hard. The scripture is clear on that. It says the way of the world is a wide gate. Many go. But the way of the Lord is a narrow gate. May we desire, just like Zach wanted to go be with his bride, may we desire to be in the presence of the Lord to say, better is one day with you than 1,000 elsewhere. Lord, move among your people and have your way, Father, as you do only what you can do. In your name we pray. Amen. Right now, as we take time to have communion, I encourage you guys to do that and partake that with us. But I want to remind you, the scripture says it's for those that are followers of Christ. Maybe there's something you need to wrestle with in your seat. Maybe there's something you say, no, I don't know if I'm a follower of Christ. Are you radiant? When's the last time someone said, what do you have and can I have it? I don't know if my life wasn't illuminating that Mike would have called me. And it's not about me. It's not. I am nothing. I'm a knucklehead. But if you love him all your days, I promise you will shine bright. The scripture says in Matthew, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and not glorify you, but glorify our Father who is in heaven. Is the glory of the Lord upon you? If it's not, maybe today you need to get that right. Maybe you need to talk to one of our leaders around the room that would pray with you and would love to wrestle. wrestle that with you today, that you can say, today was the day of salvation. I made my life right. Parents, maybe the challenge is, hey, I've done my part. Well, keep going. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep praying for your children. Students, keep fighting the good fight. Go ahead and respond to what